Good morning. This morning's scripture will be from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. If you'd like to read along, there is a Bible underneath the other bench. It's on page 1058. Again, that is 2 Timothy 4, 16 through 18. And it is written, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Good morning. It's so good to see you today. Happy that you're here. We do have visitors with us today, and it's always a special thrill to have visitors come and to spend some time with us, worship with us, fellowship with us. Give us a chance. Give us an opportunity to get to know you, to get to meet you before you leave here this beautiful Lord's Day. We have all had things in our life that we've been disappointed with. If you've never been disappointed with something in your life, you're not human. It's just life. Maybe it's that new/used, it's new to you, vehicle that you bought. I remember Trey was probably about 5 at this particular time, and I was vehicle shopping, and I had seen a Ford pickup truck, a Ranger, towards Columbus at a dealership. I thought, I'm going to go try it out. And got down there, and at that particular time, I was driving a Geo Prism, and I was doing everything I could to keep that thing together. Duct tape, just about everything I could to keep it together. And drove down there, and one of the most intelligent things I ever did in my life was allow a 5-year-old boy to pick out your vehicle for you. Trey and I got in that truck, drove it around. You remember, maybe, I didn't own it that long. It was a little purple. It was my Barney Mobile. It was purple. Little purple Ranger. And I drove that thing around. But when I went and tried it out, drove nice, the radio worked. Hey, what else do you need? It seemed to do fine. I asked Trey, I said, "You like it?" "Yeah, Daddy." I said, "You want me to get it?" "Yeah, Daddy, get it." So I got back and signed the papers on it, and I left my old Geo Prism there at the dealership, and I'm driving westbound on 70, and I get about 12 miles away from the dealership, and the check engine light comes on. And I thought, oh, no. So, and then immediately, I'll never forget that, the disappointment just set in. It's just like, what is going on with this vehicle now? And then, it could have been something simple. I have no clue. I ended up selling it not long after that. But, it could be anything. Your internet service, electronics. I think technology's great. But, man, it can be so frustrating at times. This probably won't surprise you. It's not just things that disappoint us. People can disappoint us. People can disappoint us as well. I want you to know that the Apostle Paul was dealing with disappointment. When he wrote that letter there in 2 Timothy, and I want to invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and we're going to look at those brief passages there in verses 16 through 18. But before we read the text, I want to examine the background just a little bit with you. The book of Acts begins, as you know, with the establishment of the church, and it ends with the arrest of the Apostle Paul. Most Bible scholars have pinpointed Paul's arrest somewhere around 59 A.D. He was placed under what we would call house arrest at that particular time. While under house arrest, the Apostle Paul would write letters to churches, Ephesus, those saints in Colossae and in Philippi. He even penned a letter to an individual, Philemon. He was released from prison, and then he would go on and he would write what we know as 1 Timothy and even Titus. Paul would be re-arrested once again, a second time, and this time it happened under the Emperor Nero, under his watch. That is when Paul wrote 2 Timothy. In this letter, Paul certainly believes, when you look at 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, that his time of departure is at hand. He sees the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. This, from a perspective of living out a full life, is not going to end well. He can sense it. He sees it. In 2 Timothy in chapter 4 in verses 9 through 15, Paul implores Timothy to come to him quickly, he says. Come to me quickly. Also, I want you to bring with you Mark. Luke's with me right now. And then Paul goes on and he expresses some things there that, not just things, but people that disappointed him. One is Demas, you remember, in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 9. Demas, he's forsaken me, he's left me, because he loves this present world. This is something that after, in chapter 4 and verse 9, that Paul returns to. And you have your Bibles, just quickly, I want to go back over this. And I want you to notice something. When Paul returns to this point of abandonment, being disappointed with people, that leads us up to verse 16. Paul says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me. He strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I want us to talk about this just a little bit this morning. This statement that Paul makes here in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me. All had forsaken me. There are various theories on what Paul is referencing there with regards to being forsaken, abandoned. Some scholars believe that Paul is referencing there in Acts chapter 23 when Paul was standing before the Sanhedrin. He was there alone. No one was with him. Other Bible scholars think that Paul was referencing when he was standing before the governor Felix there in Acts chapter 24 in verses 1 through 23. A third theory is that, you remember, Paul had appealed to Caesar. And that there, when Paul was arrested, and that first time in Rome, sent to Rome in Acts chapter 28 and verse 19, verses 30 and 31, some think that this is what Paul is referring to. My first defense, there was no one there with me. That theory has some holes in it because the scriptures do indeed state that there were many that were with Paul. But there was a second time Paul stood before Caesar. It would be what you might call a preliminary hearing that Paul stood before, or stood trial in Rome. This would have occurred sometime in between 64 and 67 A.D. In that time frame, I want you to think back, if you know a little bit about church history or Roman history, you understand that Nero committed suicide around 67 A.D. In that time frame, Rome was burning to the ground. Rome was set on fire. Who did this? Who is responsible for this? Things were bad in Rome. People were getting really negative on the chief politician at that time, and that was Nero. To take the heat off of himself, literally and figuratively, guess who he accused? The Christians. He blamed the Christians. And he was so strict, so severe in his punishment with the Christians. Folks, this, I know it's gut-wrenching to hear this. It breaks your heart to hear this. He would literally burn them alive. There was a garden out the back of his palace, from the backside of his palace. Literally, he would use Christians as human torches in his garden. He would burn them alive. And they would light up his garden. Is this a time that perhaps Paul is referencing? Is during his second arrest, you know, it took real courage to be a Christian. Listen, folks, if there is an edict, if there is a law in effect that Christians will be burned, that will test your courage for Christ. Perhaps at this time, many were scattering and they were running. And Paul is a smoking gun right now. Let's stay away from him. Is this what he's referencing? I don't know. Whether it's all of the other theories we talked about, whether it's this particular situation when he's re-arrested and there's a preliminary hearing and there's no one there with him, you know what? It doesn't really matter. The bottom line is this. He felt all alone. That we can agree on. You ever felt all alone before? Have you ever had a moment in your life, a time, an episode in your life, when you felt all alone and you really, truly wanted someone to be there with you? To help you. To hold your hand. To listen to you. To tell you it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We'll get through this together. You see, all those individuals at that particular time that Paul felt like would be there with me, be there for me, they were gone. How disappointing. I'm going to tell you in these passages that we read this morning, I'm going to show you something. How Paul dealt with disappointment. I think the Apostle Paul put forth a pattern for us to follow that will help us deal with disappointment. Not necessarily things that disappoint us, but when people disappoint us. First thing is this. There in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 16, did you notice at the end of that passage in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 16, what the Apostle Paul says? He says this, may it not be charged against them. He doesn't end it with, and God will get you, dirty, rotten scoundrels. That's not the way he ends that. He doesn't end it with, you're going to pay for abandoning me. God will see to it. That's not what he says. He says, may this charge not be held against them. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? You remember there on the cross, folks. When Jesus is praying in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, he looks up to his Father and he says, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I'm going to tell you something. I needed to hear that. I needed to see that. Not so much that I needed to see that it was Jesus who was saying it. It was Jesus who was doing it. But I needed to see it. I need to know it because I need to see it for me. I need a pattern for me whenever people disappoint me. To not harbor animosity, to not harbor anger, to not harbor hate. Father, forgive them, Jesus says. Forgive, who's them? Them that falsely accused him? Them that lied about him? Them that mistreated him? Them who hated him? Them who he once killed and may be out in the crowd cheering and jeering, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Ever done something good for somebody and they turn around and use it against you? Is it getting personal now? So I got your attention. Father, forgive them, the them, my very own disciples. Think about it. Where were they, most of them, when he was being led away? They scattered. They scattered. Peter denied it. Anybody here had it harder than Jesus? And I'm not trying to minimize your pain. I'm not. But if we're going to compare scars with Jesus, seriously, how are you measuring up with Jesus right now? Friends, I am so glad that Jesus shared those words with me on the cross. It helps me deal with the own disappointment that comes along in my life. Because the day that I can't allow myself to have a forgiving heart is the day I have allowed the devil to have a foothold on my heart. And I cannot be the effective servant that God has called me to be when that happens. Can't be. There's no way. So, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul said, God's with me. All else, all others, they've left me. But God's with me. Paul understood that. He wasn't alone. Isn't that comforting to know? Isn't that comforting to know, even when we're all alone, we know God is right there with us. He's right there with us. I wonder if the Apostle Paul ever reflected back to that time there in the book of Acts when Paul was in Corinth, in Acts chapter 18. When Paul was in Corinth, he was preaching the gospel there in Corinth. First he went into the synagogue. The scriptures tell us, come on down to Acts chapter 18 and the verse 4. He was persuading many Greeks and Jews, the scriptures say. That's what Luke records for us. Many were being convinced. Many were being tuned in and turned on to Jesus Christ. Come on down to verse 6 in Acts chapter 18, and then look at what happens. There's trouble. There's controversy. Paul was asked to not come back to the synagogue anymore and preach and teach in the name of Jesus. Would that be disappointing to you? Would you be discouraged about that? Look at Acts chapter 18, though, in verse 9 and 10. And listen to what the Lord says to Paul. He says, don't be afraid to speak. Do not keep silent. For I'm with you. That was the pattern throughout Paul's life. Whenever there was a time in Paul's life when it seemed like all had forsaken him. There's moments in your life when you're just totally discouraged and just you can't go on anymore. And you realize, wait a minute, God's with me. And that makes it all better. That makes it all better. One of the passages that really I really like, it's one of my favorites, is in Hebrews in chapter 13, when the author here is encouraging the Christian, don't covet. Let your life be without covetousness. That shouldn't be your conduct. Be content with the things that God has given you. Then listen to what he says. He says, for he himself, in Hebrews 13, verse 5, he has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, not that we may say, but that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can anyone do to me? If God's for me, who can be against me? You know, I think back to a time in my life when I've been all alone. Whether it be that preteen in Children's Hospital in Columbus when my mom and dad were divorced and my mom had to go back to work. Had to go back to work. She had no time off. Had to go back to a smelly old stinky factory. And left me there for almost a week, laying in a bed in Columbus. I knew nobody. All alone. But she taught me, you always say your prayers. Got mileage on that. Or my senior year in college, right during the final exams, my mom was on a business trip. She was on a plane, and she was headed for Mexico, teaching them how to take her job. That's another sermon for another day. I won't go into that. And I got a phone call from my uncle. And I never get a phone call from my uncle, ever. And he says, again, Scotty, someone broke into your home and torched it. Some of it's still standing. Some of it's not standing. I don't know what you want to do about it, but I know your mom's not in country. Right smack dab in the middle of my exams, I packed everything up and I went back home. And I got home probably about 2 a.m. from Parkersburg. And most lived in a trailer at that time. Yes, Jerry, I was trailer trash. Lived in a trailer at that time. Half of it, you know, was burnt up. The living room was still intact, though. And I remember about, this is an odd feeling, to sit in a chair and be able to look out a burned patch in your home and see the stars. And you just talk to God. I was all alone. I had no one with me. But I was able to get through that because God helped me through that. And I just sat there, watched the sun come up, still talking to God. Paul and Silas were in a similar situation with trouble there in Acts 16. You remember that? A servant girl was tormenting them, pestering them to death. Okay, nagging them. And she was demonic. Paul had enough of it. Had the authority to drive that demon out of her. He did. And the little servant girl's owners were just all upset because there's no way to make money now. Paul and Silas were in prison. And you know how, you remember how they dealt with disappointment and discouragement and the trial at that time? You're going down to Acts 16, what, like verse 25, somewhere in there. And they were singing and they were praying. Was anyone listening? Well, God was listening. Anybody else listening? The inmates were listening. The scriptures say that the inmates were listening. You know who else was listening? The jailer. The guard. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. When tough times come along in our life, it's not just God who's watching us, but there's others who are watching us as well to see how we're dealing with it. And when they see someone's faith in God, I'm going to just tell you, man, they want faith like that. Because I'm not doing so well dealing with my problems. And I don't want to be all alone. And folks, that's where we come in and we share with them and we show them our relationship with the Lord. And we're not alone. It's contagious. Third, God will strengthen me. That's what Paul said there. God will strengthen me, he says. How was God going to strengthen Paul? How was he able to strengthen Paul? How could he do that? Well, through a number of ways. We understand that God's there with us. We gain strength from that. We gain strength from the fact that we can sing and pray, just like they did in Philippi, in that jail cell. Another way, though, that folks, that God can strengthen us is certainly through His Word, isn't it? Have you ever run into moments, have you ever run into times in your life when I'm just really struggling, and God just speaks to me, and there's a Bible nearby. You've been there before, and you open it up. Does He speak to you? You better believe it. If you say no to that, you're not paying attention to what He says. When you go back and you look in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 with regards to God speaking to us from His Word, listen to what He says in verse 12. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Wouldn't you love to have the name of Tychicus? Junior, Bobby, Aaron, Tychicus. Okay, Tychicus. God love him. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. What's he talking about? His Bible. I need strength. And this is how God's going to give it to me right here. That's my encouragement to you. You're feeling down, disappointed, anything, anyone. Pick it up and read it. I promise you, at the end of that session, you'll feel strengthened. Finally, and fourth, actually, this isn't the last point. Sorry. That's tricking. Here, get busy. Chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 17. Paul said he got busy. He got busy. I want to encourage you to get busy. Whenever you're feeling disappointed, you're feeling down, listen to me. Don't just sit there and wallow in your pity and throw a pity party for yourself. Paul says, I'm not going to do that. Even in this state that I'm in, I'm going to get busy. Isn't it interesting when you go back and you read some of the prison epistles the first time around that those of Caesar's household greet you? Wait a minute! What's that tell you? You may chain me, but you're not going to chain this. Get busy! Listen, one of the greatest things you can do with dealing with disappointment and discouragement, go be an encourager. I'm going to repeat it. When you are feeling down, you're feeling downtrodden, you're feeling discouraged, get up, get busy, and you will feel better about yourself when you're done serving. I promise you that. Whether it's write a letter, whether it's go see somebody, get busy. Get busy. That's the way Paul dealt with it. I'm going to get busy. He who encourages gains encouragement. Okay. This is my final point, Ray. Right here. This is it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. Look at Paul's outlook in verse 18. He says this, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me through His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's faith, listen to me, was in God's power to deliver. rather in Satan's power to defeat him. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Paul's outlook was in God's power to deliver him. Paul's outlook was victorious. Paul knew that he served a God, listen to me, church, Paul knew that he served a God of deliverance. He knew that. You may be sitting there saying, yeah, but Scott, listen to me. You know, Paul was executed. How is that being delivered? Well, obviously, you need to go back and look at verses 6, 7, and 8. You see, the way Paul looked at this was this way. You know what? If I'm released and I'm set free as a bird and I can go out and I can preach the gospel again, praise be to God, I'm delivered. But if this end comes about with regards to me being killed for my faith in Christ, guess what? God has delivered me. He's delivered me. I'm going to go home. You see, that's a win-win for me. Some of you perhaps have heard me say a prayer over a faithful loved one, a member of this church, when they're on their deathbed. And perhaps you've heard me pray, God, bring about deliverance. Now listen, if that means God heals them and they are restored, He's delivered them of that sickness. But if God says, your ticket's punched, it's time to come home, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there's no more heartache, come on home. He's delivered them. He's delivered them. And that's what I think Paul was referencing. It's a win-win for me. It's the best deal in town. Speaking of disappointments, now I'm going to ask you, when you're dealing with disappointment, I want to encourage you to go back and look at this model. Look at this model that God has given unto us on how to deal with disappointment. With regards to disappointment, I think sometimes the greatest person that we're disappointed with, and if we're honest with ourselves, if our hearts have been pricked, is this. We're disappointed with ourselves for not doing what we know we ought to do. What we must do, what we should do. You see that same man that was dealing with disappointment and showed us how to deal with it properly is that same man that went about and he preached and he taught how to become a Christian. And his message didn't deviate from Jesus at all. As a matter of fact, it reinforced everything Jesus taught. You've heard the word, do you believe it? If you believe it, God calls us to repent of our sins, friend. It's a change of heart that brings about a changed life. It's not a worldly sorrow at all. Worldly sorrow says, oops, I got caught. Better do some damage control here. Godly sorrow says, I'm humbling myself, God, right before you right now, and I'm turning it all over to you, and the only way there's a way out is with you helping me. And I'm changing. I can't do this by myself. You're going to confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and you're going to be baptized into Christ for the remission and forgiveness of your sins. Not because I said so, but because He says so. You see, the one who's going to walk out of here the most disappointed this morning is the one who knows they ought to do that very thing, and they don't do it. Don't leave disappointed. Maybe you have done that. Put into practice the model that Paul has given us. And maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you need prayers. You need encouragement. Maybe you need to repent of your sins. Whatever your need may be, please come forward together. We stand and we sing.